Go to Proverbs 4. Look in verse 20. You know, I know my family, not just Sarah, but a lot in our family, we're right in the middle of heated battle. You know, everything that's going on in your life, it starts off in the spirit before it gets to the natural. And we, a lot of times, we have a tendency to, we try to fight the natural symptoms, and we don't solve it because we don't attack it in the spirit. Glory to God. And so we're all going to, if you're not in a battle right now, you're going to be in one for long. If you're following Jesus, just trust me, you're going to be in a fight. And it's not that I'm wishing nothing bad on you. It's just that this is the way it is. You know, like it or not, when you sign up to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you sign up for battle. And the more you the more you follow him, the more heated the battle gets. You know, you get into deeper territory. Glory to God. And so we've been talking about that and operating in the spirit. And without the word of God, you got no weapons. See, a lot of Christians think that they can just come to church and hear the word, and you can't do that. You can do it, but you're gonna lose your fight. You're always going to be defeated. You're never going to be able to enter into the place that God has for you. This here is kind of like boot camp, I guess. You know, we come, we get pumped up, but the rest of the week, we got to do our part, and we got to get into the word so that we can use the word. And right here in Proverbs 4, and look in verse 20, it says, "My son, give attention to my words." He said, my words are important. Pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Glory to God. Pay attention to the word of God. You can't just read it and go on about it. You can't just hear it every now and then. He said, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. In other words, you need to be in here every day, right? Come on. You need to be in the word every day. Doesn't mean you got to read the whole Bible every day or even buku chap. You got to be in the word. Get you some word and meditate on it. Get that word set into you. And he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See, it's important for you to not only get these words in your memory or in your mind, they have to get into your heart. Glory to God, because look what he says there. He says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Here's where you get your healing from, in the word of God. Hallelujah. Whether that be physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, psychological healing, whatever healing you need is all in the word of God. Hallelujah. And so he says, you got to get that word. You got to keep it before your eyes, and you have to get it settled in your heart. He says, keep your heart, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Every battle we have is in the spirit. You can, you know, you if you get a headache and you take Tylenol or whatever it is you like to take for your headache, it may address the symptom, but that headache was not caused from a lack of aspirin. And all you do is put a Band-Aid on something that's gonna come back. You gotta address the issue. What's causing? What's the root? And that's the way it is with everything in your life. Everything is caused, and it's all spiritual. See, we was created to be spiritual beings. That's what makes us different than animals. Is we're created to be spiritual beings, and we're created to operate in the spirit. Paul said, "Walk in the spirit," and when we walk in the flesh, then we can't address the spiritual things. And in order to walk in the spirit, you're going to have to incline your ears to the sayings. You're going to have to pay attention to the word of God. You've got to get that word in your eyes. Your eyes and your ears are gates into your heart. They're the pathway into your heart. And he says, and the word has to be settled in your heart. In other words, you got to come to the point to where you got to say, God said it. I believe it, that settles it. And that the truth is, we We read the Word of God. I believe everybody, we've been together a long time, and I believe that you, I believe that we all read the Word, or at least most of us read the Word during the week. We try to get this Word in. A lot of us had the Word in before we ever started gathering together. You've been in the Word your whole life. But the thing is it settled in your heart? Is the Word firm in your heart? Do you believe the Word of God over your situations, your circumstances, the things that are going in your struggles, the things that are in your life? Do you believe the Word of God over all of that? Because if you did, you'd have victory. And everywhere we're failing to have victory is because the Word is not settled in our heart. The word has to have final say. Not the situation, not the circumstances, not anything else. The Word has to be the final say. You're going to have situations and circumstances. All of this is so that you can become stronger. All of this is to develop you. Everything in your life, every headache, every toe ache, every hurtful situation where your feelings get hurt, everything in your life, every second of your day is designed to take you to a deeper place with God. And you're going to have battles. Satan is fighting to keep you from following God. He is fighting to keep you out of the plan of God. He is fighting to destroy you, to kill you, to steal from you, whatever he can. When the word is sown, you know, the parable of the sower, the first thing that happens is some of the seed falls on a hard path, and the Satan comes and steals it right off the bat. Every time you come to church, he's trying to steal whatever word he can. We come to church so many times, and I guarantee you, everybody in here that's been in church, you have gone to church, heard a good message, and then left from here and forgot what it was about. Wherever you was, whatever church you went to, and it just completely gone. What happened? Satan came and stole the seed. It's a spiritual battle, folks. He said, "Pay attention to all of my words. Incline your ears to my sayings." This word has to be before your eyes, and it has to be settled in your heart. Glory to God. Turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, look in verse 89. Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It has a place. It is permanent. It's there. Nothing can override it. It is settled. God's word is settled in heaven, and he wants it to be settled in your heart. It can be settled on earth in your life, or it doesn't have to be. You get to decide whether or not the word is going to be settled in your heart, but it's already settled in heaven. Glory to God. That's why Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, "Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The word is already settled in heaven. Pray that it'll be settled in your life, in your heart. Glory to God. Come on, it's not a little meaningless, it's not just a meaningless prayer or a prayer just that sounds real good. He's saying, you need to pray about this. Because the word is settled. It's settled in heaven. It's already done. But it's done on earth too, but just not in your heart. Come on. You have to settle it in your heart for it to be activated in your life. The word is the sword of the Spirit. It's what we fight with. It's how we win how we get victory achieved in our life. God's already won. He's already defeated the enemy. He's already done everything. Now you have to receive it. And the only way you can receive it is through the Word of God. But if you don't really believe the Word of God, then it's not settled, and you're still out there kind of dangling for the enemy to attack you. He's going to attack you no matter what. But you know, he can attack something that's walled up. Remember we talked about, I think it was on Wednesday night, building walls. Building the walls in our life. Nehemiah was sent to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem to protect Jerusalem from the enemy. You have to build up the walls in your life from the enemy, and you do it by the word of God. You have to get that word settled in your heart. See, the reason why so many people, Christian folk, good Christian folk, people who serve the Lord, who worship the Lord, who die from cancer and these other things, what happened? We wonder, it makes us wonder, is healing really, is it really for us? Well, was it settled in their heart? Did they really believe it, or was they hoping for it? Think about all the things where you claim the word of God in your life. Because we're taught that. I've been teaching that for 5 years now. You gotta stand on the word. You gotta speak the word. Glory to God. You gotta get that word in you. And we stand on it, and yet we still go through this struggle. I mean, just for long periods of time, and nothing seems to happen. What happened? Think about it. Is the word really settled in your heart? Did you really believe that you had victory? Or was you hoping for victory? Every time I examined that, I was hoping the word worked. But it wasn't settled in my heart. Go back up to verse 11 in Psalms 119. It's settled in heaven. Is it settled in your heart? Look right here. Verse 11 says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That word sin right there, it means to miss the mark. It can mean to be led astray. It also can mean to forfeit. Come on. You can forfeit the things of God. The victory that God has for you. You can forfeit it by not having the word hidden in your heart. By the word not being settled in your heart. You forfeit the promises of God because you have to believe. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot receive the things of God without faith. And you can't have true faith without the word being settled in your heart. God said it. I believe it. That's it. Regardless of what I see, feel, hear, taste, regardless of anything else around me, God's word is settled in my heart. My shoulder still hurts, but I believe that I'm healed. I'm not going to let the feeling say that I'm not. Come on now. And what happens to us is we still experience the fight still kind of going on, so we give way to the fight instead of to the word. We struggle in our relationships. And every single one of us is struggling in our relationship, believes it's the other person. We just do like that. And because the other person doesn't straighten up, we still, that's what we see. And so therefore, we don't achieve victory in our relationship because we don't believe that the word is set. We let other things take dominance over the word of God. How many of you know God's working in every relationship in your life with you and your children, your spouses, everybody? He's working on that relationship. But what happens is we see it from our perspective and not from the word's perspective. Amen. And then we believe our perspective over the word's perspective. That means that our perspective is settled in our heart and not his word. If his word was settled in our heart, then we would see it completely different. Praise God. God said it. I believe it. Amen. That settles it. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Look at verse 22. Y'all ready? 1 Peter 1:22. He says, Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now that's not what it's about, but I want you to know that's a command. That's not a suggestion. Come on now. Love each other fervently is a command. That's what he's telling you to do this. He's not asking you. Hallelujah. He just haven't been born again. How many of y'all born again? Everybody. If you're too lazy to raise your hand on that right there, then you might be in a little trouble. He says, haven't been born again. I'm just playing with you. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers falls away. But the word of the Lord does what? Endures forever. When I was reading it, he said, situations and circumstances and these things in your life, they all change. But the word of God is settled forever. The word of God's never going to change. But the situations in your life will change. Whether you address the spiritual issue or not, the situations are going to change. The circumstances in your life are going to change. But the word of God's going to stay the same. It's never, ever going to change. That's why you got to let the word of God be settled in your heart instead of everything else. Because the word's not going to change. It's always going to be the same. It's always going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. But if you believe the situations and the circumstances over the word of God, then you're going to have to deal with that situation from now on until something else changes. You're not going to have victory until you believe the word of God says it. God said it. I believe it. It settles it no matter what. If I wake up tomorrow, I've been dealing with some shoulder pain for a couple of weeks now. If I wake up tomorrow and my shoulder pain is still there, it doesn't mean that God's word's not true. It means I haven't settled it in my heart. He says, you got to believe that you receive. Not hope that you receive. You got to believe that you receive. Praise God. How many know God's not trying to make my shoulder hurt just to teach me a lesson? That's not the way he operates. Come on. What he's trying, he's allowed this to happen so that I can learn to grow in faith, to become mature. Go to James. James chapter 1. Look in verse 2. None of this is new. Y'all have heard messages on this left and right. None of this is new. But the thing is, how many of y'all still just having a hard time with your joy? Anybody here have a hard time with joy? About half of us willing to tell the truth. The rest of you just want to lie about it. I know you're not lying. I know you just didn't want to raise your hand. You didn't want anybody to see that you haven't been struggling with your joy. But the truth is, we all struggle with our joy. Hallelujah. Some of us maintain it real well in front of others, but when we get by ourselves, we're having a trouble here. And because we don't think nobody else knows, we don't want to raise our hand. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Count it all joy. So no matter what the situation is, no matter what's surrounding me, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how I feel, I'm supposed to do what? Count it all as joy. I'm supposed to have some joy right in the middle of all of this. Right in the middle of this struggle, right in the middle of my marriage seeming like it's falling apart, right in the middle of my relationship with my children seeming like it's just getting farther and farther apart, right in the middle of everything being torn apart in my life, in the middle of losing my job, in the middle of bad health, in the middle of everything, count it all joy. There's no exception. Count it all joy. When you're going through all these things, because it's a test of your faith to produce patience. Look in verse 4. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be perfect, for folks. Forget about that. You may think you're perfect, but you ain't. But he says you can be mature. You can be complete. You can grow to the point that you're supposed to grow to. Hallelujah. And then look what he says. Be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, that word sin, while ago when we looked in Psalms 119:11, that word sin also means lack. Remember I said it means forfeit? It also means lack. Glory to God. And he's saying, if you don't let the word get settled in your heart, you're going to be lacking. The way you count it all joy is by having the word settled in your heart. See, when the word's settled, you can have joy no matter what comes at you, no matter what happens, you can still have joy. Well, how do I have joy when I feel like my marriage is falling apart? Because you've got to let the word be settled in your heart. You can do it when God's word has the final word in your life, when it has final say over everything else. The truth is, we don't let God's word have final say. We want to pay attention to the storm that's going on around us. We want to let that have final. Yeah, but you know, you just don't understand, Brother John. You don't understand what I'm going through. I don't have to understand what you're going through. What I understand is the word's not settled in your heart. And I know that, not because it's settled in my heart about everything, but because I experienced the things that you experienced too. And I know when I look back, I can see that the word wasn't settled in my heart. I woke up, I've been waking up almost every morning, and two or three times in the middle of the night with my I think I got a pinched nerve in my shoulder, and it's causing problems down in my arms and stuff. And it's not bad as long as I'm upright and moving and everything, it's not too bad. But when I lay down, it gets serious. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm going to tell you something. I wake up, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed. But I'll tell you what, I'm begging. Just being honest with you. Because it's hurting, and I'm in a bind right now. And the truth is, I'm really believing this pain more than I am the Word of God, and I'm hoping that by saying the Word of God, I'm gonna get something going here. But the Word ain't really settled in my heart, and I'm working. I'm trying to get there. I'm working hard. That's where this message came from, because the Word has to be settled in my heart to receive what the Word says. The only Word that works for us is the Word that we believe. You know, there's all kind of scripture in here that's not working in our life. Am I the only one that has that problem? But I'm going to tell you something. All of this scripture in here is 100% true. Jesus, he is the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Jesus, he became flesh, and he was full of what? Of grace and truth. The Word is truth. He said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. He's truth. This word is true. It's the only truth that we have. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. And if we don't believe this over our situation, we're going to have to deal with our situation. He says, when you get the word settled, when you go through these tests, it's to make you perfect or complete or mature so that you'll be lacking nothing. All the lack in your life, the lack of the solution to the situation, becomes because you haven't been made complete. And the only way you're ever going to be made complete is when that word is settled in your heart. When it becomes the most real thing there is. The Bible says that the things you can't see are more real than the things that you can see. Come on, you can't see the solution, but it's more real than the situation. Hebrews 4. Look at verse 9. He said, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. How many of you people of God? Is there any people of God in here? And there's a rest. Now, he's not talking about nap time. He's not talking about when you get in a recliner, watch a football game, go to sleep. Or whatever it is you watch to go to sleep. He's talking about a rest in your spirit. There's spiritual rest. Glory to God. You can be just busy, busy, busy and have spiritual rest. Come on. He said, there's a rest for God's people. Hallelujah. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. He says, when you enter into this rest, all that stuff you're struggling for, it's going to be there. That's where you're entering into that rest. You're getting rid of the struggle. He said, it's not that you're getting rid of your job, that you're now going to get to retire and go do whatever you want to do. It's a fact that you're no longer struggling with all these things. You're not struggling with this sickness no more. You enter into rest. How many of you know that if you've been battling any kind of sickness or anything, and all of a sudden you get the relief, you get healing, however, whether it manifests or whether it just manifests it in your heart, there's a relief that comes. There's a rest. That's the rest he's talking about. Glory to God. When you get a rest about your marriage and your relationships and your every little struggle in your mind, you know, when depression's lifted up off of you, there's a relief. There's a rest that comes. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. He says, for you enter into rest. Verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest. He said, you're gonna have to want to enter this rest. You've got to do something to enter into this rest. Come on. He said, you got to be diligent to enter this rest. He says, lest anyone fall according to the same examples of disobedience. Talking about those in the Israelites when they come out of Egypt and everything. And they never entered into God's rest because they never trusted God. They never believed God. Constantly, what are we going to do now? You brought us out of Egypt to kill us. We had plenty of graves in Egypt. We should be better off back over there. We ain't got no water. The food ain't good. I'm tired of eating this bread. Give me something else. I don't like the quail either. Come on. They nagged the whole time. 40 years they nagged till they died. They never trusted God. Not one time did they trust God. God would do mighty miracles in their life, but they never trusted him. The word was never settled in their heart. They never actually believed, like Joshua and Caleb, that God had a promised land for me, and I'm going to enter into it. Word was never settled. He says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's how we know we're talking about the word. This is what gets you into the rest. This word is alive, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will reveal to you what is actually in your heart. You're not sure what's going on inside of you? Get in the word of God. He'll reveal it to you. The word of God reveals the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, if that word is settled in you, then all this is going to go. You're going to be able to fight this fight from a place of victory. See, we all fight in a fight from a place of the battleground. But we're supposed to be fighting a fight from the throne. We've been seated with Christ Jesus. He already took his seat. He's already won the victory and went to the victory chair and sat down. And he said, I have placed you with me in the victory chair. You need to fight all these fights from a place of victory instead of on the battlefield. If the word was settled in your heart, you'd be up here in the throne. You'd be sitting up here at the right hand of God with Christ Jesus instead of sitting down there wondering why you still got to fight this fight. The word ain't settled. Come on. He said, I've already given you everything, all you need. God's done everything he needs to do for you. Now he's waiting on you to get settled. He's waiting on you to settle the word in your heart. He's waiting on you to believe the word above everything else. We listened to a show that I don't even know the name of the show, but I was watching one of the church channels or whatever, and Sarah was, I think Sarah was taking a shower or something, and this young worship leader come on, and she had a issue with her stomach and everything, and this was before she got married and everything else, and she looked kind of pregnant, and she's a pastor's daughter, and she was going through this struggle with not only in her body but in her mind and everything, and she kept on, and you know, she knows the word. She was raised in the word. Got a good daddy, you know, pastor, a good pastor, and he taught the word of God and everything. And she's going through all of this, and then finally, I mean, it's a long story, but she finally was somewhere, and I think her dad was just to start a series on healing. And she got the word, and it dropped down in her spirit, and she believed that she was healed with no evidence of being healed. She said she settled it in her heart. And time went by. Some time went, and she still had the issue. She said she left that service feeling absolutely no different than she went in. Except it was settled in her heart. But physically, mentally, she didn't feel any different. But she knew that she knew that she knew that God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And so she was sometime later, and I don't remember how much time was had transpired. I was stuck right there. It settled in her heart. And I realized that's what our problem is. And sometime later, she went to bed and just weighed herself the night before, not having any clue. Just she got on the scales and weighed. And she went to bed that night. And in the morning when she woke up, her husband was amazed. He's like, "Baby." And he was freaking out and said, "Look." And the thing in her stomach was flat like it was supposed to be. Overnight. And she lost, I think, 20 pounds. Is that what she said? She lost 20 pounds overnight. But she had already, it had already been settled in her heart. And she knew when it was settled in her heart, regardless of what it looks like right now, regardless of what's going on around me, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And because it was settled in her heart is when the victory came. There's no matter what, you going through a fight, I'm going to tell you something. Satan is not going to just because you say, "Oh, well, I believe the word," he's not just going to back off. It may persist a little while. But if it's settled in your heart, it don't matter. Because you know you have the victory. Glory to God. Now he's going to try to take you off of there. I think the other night we talked about 6:45 was we got healed at 6:45, and Sarah's been saying that, and yet the struggle continues from every now and then. The struggle comes back at her. But you got to stay on that. I was healed at 6:45, devil. I ain't taking this. And that's what that girl did. She was settled in her heart. No matter what you do, Satan, no matter how long this takes, no matter what, I'm already healed. She said she got a hold of that scripture, and it says you were healed. Past tense. Already done. You everything that you need from God is already done. If you need healing in your body, it's already done. He says that he took our sorrows and griefs upon the cross. He took them upon himself. If you research that, that is pains and sickness. He took all your mental anguish on the cross. He took everything upon the cross. Sarah said every bit of that this morning. He took it all on the cross so you didn't have to. But until you settle it in your head, until you settle it in your heart, you're still dealing with it. Here in Mark chapter 4, the chapter starts off with the parable of the sower, and he begins to tell us about the different soils and stuff, and he speaks in parables, and he tells us about the different soils, and the different soils, for me, is your different levels of your spiritual maturity. You know, if you don't operate in the spirit at all, then you're the hard pathway, and Satan comes and steals that seed. He's gone. Come to church. These church people. Now, people come to church all the time. They hear a word, and before they even get out the door, that word's gone. In fact, they can't tell you the last scripture. Right in the middle of the service, the last scripture just escaped them. They don't even know what the pastor said. Well, they ain't got nothing. The Holy Spirit didn't say nothing to them either. Come on. He tells you about all the different soils here. And then he goes on, and he tells you about the light in the basket and all these things. And then he comes to verse 35. And verse 33, let's see. Verse 35, Jesus was teaching the people. And he told them to get, he got in the boat, and he cast off. He got out in the water just a little ways, and he taught the people and everything. And then he tells his disciples, he says, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Let us cross over to the other side. And then he says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. So there's people following him. Glory to God. And a great windstorm arose, And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So they're crossing over to the other side. He told them, let's cross over to the other side. And when I read that, I'm thinking going from the natural to the spirit. Come on. They was crossing the Sea of Galilee in this story. But when I read that, I immediately, for me, it was crossing from the natural to the spirit. Glory to God. We got to cross. We got to get out the natural and get into the spirit. And then in the middle of this trying to get into the spirit, here comes the storm. Because Satan don't want you to enter into the spirit. He don't want you entering into what God has for you. So there's going to be a storm right in the middle of it. When you start trying to get out the physical, when you start trying to get out the natural and get in the spiritual, Satan always sends a storm. That ought to shed a little light on what you're going through. Hallelujah. And he says he started filling up the boat. Glory to God. Those things, these storms, these thoughts, these situations begin to fill up the boat. They begin to fill you up and to try to distract you from the Word of God. You might know what I'm talking about. You know, we started, I don't know, we months now into it, we started teaching about operating in the spirit. And I can't speak for everybody, but I know a lot of people in the church started trying to enter into the spirit more and trying to, you know, operate in the gifts, and they just under attack. There's that storm. Here's that storm. Sarah got up here and she stepped up, tried to lead us into worship and everything. Here comes the storm. Got to fill the boat up. I'm going to break them waves over into the boat where you go to panicking and freaking out and starting to try to even consider not doing this no more. Come on, it happens to me all the time, trying to be a pastor, trying to do prison ministry. And them waves break over into the boat and you just want to quit. The other day I was just sitting there and just out of the blue, I quit. Just come out my mouth. And I had to turn around and say, that's a lie, devil. You ain't getting me with that. I rebuked that thought and them words. Verse 38 says, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Jesus is napping. He's in the stern asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Lord, you don't care what I'm going through? Well, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling to be a pastor, Lord, and you don't even care. You ain't even helping me none, Lord. It's like you just throwed me out to the wolves. I'm trying to be a worship leader, Lord, and it's like you're not even protecting me. I'm having all these battles and stuff. I'm trying to go to the nursing home ministry, Lord. And you just letting things attack me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can sit there and act like you ain't never said nothing like that or thought like that, but I'm going to tell you something. You must not have been under no heavy attack. Because you'll feel like the Lord done abandon you. But he's not. He is in the boat, folks. The thing is, he ain't worried about it. Because he knows what he knows. He already has victory. He knows he's already given you victory. What's there to be worried about? Glory to God. He says, and he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there ceased and there was a great calm. Jesus got up from his nap, looked at the storm, said, man, be still. Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus couldn't calm the storm on the outside unless the storm on the inside had already been calmed. You see, you trying to speak to the storm on the outside, but you ain't dealt with the inside. See, the Word of God ain't settled, because if it was settled, you'd have peace on the inside, and then you could speak to the outside. But you can't speak to the outside till it's took care of on the inside. See, you trying to speak to it. We speak in the Word. We speak in the Word, but it ain't settled in our heart. So what we're doing is we just throwing empty words out. You gotta have peace on the inside before you're going to create any peace on the outside. The Word has to be settled. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's why, see, we get a hold of the word of faith and everything and the speaking and stuff, and we speak and we speak and we speak. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't none of this a formula. It ain't that if I say it 1,000 times, it'll make it real. Faith comes by hearing the word, and you need to speak it. You need to hear the word, but it's not going to take place until it's settled in your heart. The word has to have dominance in your life. You got to believe that more than you believe anything else. And you're going to be tested whether or not you believe it. The storm is going to come, and it's going to rock the boat. And then waves are going to come in, they're going to crash in, and you're going to get soaking wet. And if you look around, the boat's filling up. But if the word's settled and you got peace in your heart, you can calm that storm. Praise you. Jesus went on to the other side to deal with demons. Every time this story is told, Jesus goes to the other side. In all your gospels where this story is told, he went to the other side strictly to deal with demons. Come on. He left the people in the natural to go across to deal with the spirit. And in the middle of it was the storm. But because he had peace, he could speak to the storm. You know, he rebuked the disciples and said, "Guys, you got no faith. You have little faith." They could have spoke to the storm and calmed the storm if it had peace on the inside. Had Jesus' teaching been settled in their heart, had they realized that Jesus loved them and was taking care of them, that storm would have meant absolutely nothing. But because they doubted his love for them, because they doubted what he had done for them, they freaking out. Is the word settled in your heart? I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. I know every one of us is going through something. Every one of us. And sometimes we so holy that we can't share it with nobody. Because what are they going to think about me? Well, I get up here every week and share my troubles with you. Glory to God. That's the only way I'm going to get victory. You're going to settle the word in your heart. Hallelujah. And the way you're going to settle that word in your heart is to have that word before your eyes and in your ears. Glory to God. You're going to have to hide the word in your heart.